it's pretty hard not to notice that Christmas is coming. Hi, I'm Rick Steves. While many Americans complain that Christmas is becoming just too commercial here in the United States, some of our European friends are establishing no Santa zones. And while many of us measure the season in shopping days, Europeans tinsel the season with their own special holidays, from St. Nicholas Day to Epiphany. Today on Travel with Rick Steves, we'll hear how the holidays are celebrated in Madrid and Paris, Holland and Hungary, Scotland and Sicily, and even in warm and summery Australia. However you say Merry Christmas,
Vrolijk Kerstfeest en een gelukkig nieuwjaar.
Buon Natale.
Feliz Navidad.
Joyeux Noël.
Joyeux Noël.
What a best big man, Figleski. Have a happy Christmas.
Oldo Karajoint. Merry Christmas.
You'll like what you get in the hour ahead on Travel with Rick Steves. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by American Airlines, with 4,000 flights to 250 cities in 40 countries around the world every day. It's easy to book your next flight at AA.com. American Airlines knows why you fly. We're having a Christmas party, international style, today on Travel with Rick Steves. I'm Rick Steves, and I've invited some of my friends from Europe and beyond to join us and tell us how they celebrate their Christmas holidays. We'll hear who brings the gifts and how children butter them up. And we'll imagine the fanciful characters that inhabit holiday dreams and the special foods that bring so much of that Christmas joy. Let's look at how the holidays are celebrated in Madrid and Paris, Amsterdam, Edinburgh and Budapest, in Sicily, and even down under in Australia. Thanks for joining us as we celebrate an international Christmas on Travel with Rick Steves. I'm Rick Steves. I'm in a Christmas mood. It's holiday time, and we're exploring and celebrating the different ways people celebrate Christmas. I'm joined by Federico Garcia Barroso. Federico Garcia Barroso. It sounds like Spain to me.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Federico.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Christmas time in Spain. Mm. You're 5 years old. Little boy. Mm-hmm. It's Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
What just happened? What's going to happen?
I'm happy. I'm expecting everything.
Tell me. Take me there.
I can tell you that in Spain, children in Spain, we believe in two things. Santa Claus, that we call him Papá Noel. And then we believe also in the three wise men or the three magic kings, you know? We have two choices, and we take both, you see? Actually, that's what we do. Santa, we call him Papá Noel in Spanish, and he comes every Christmas Eve, and the three magic kings, they come the night of the 5th of January. Actually, the 6th of January is officially the last Christmas day in Spain.
Okay, so that's Epiphany. Yeah. And all over Europe, Epiphany is a big deal. January 6th is really part of the gift-giving season for Christmas.
Exactly.
Big deal for the kids and big deal on the Christian calendar. Let's talk Christmas Eve here. Papa Noel, Father Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
What's he look like? Is he a little Spanish guy or what?
No, actually, he's Santa Claus. And he's a big
fat guy with a big beard.
He's an Anglo-Saxon tradition
that
we imported.
He's an Anglo-Saxon guy. Okay.
We know, someone told us that he lives in Lapland, you know, there in Scandinavia, in Finland, maybe in Rovaniemi, I think, if I'm not wrong. And then he comes to Spain, of course. But the funny thing about this is that there are some people in Holland, in the Netherlands, that they think that Santa Claus is Spanish, by the way. And the real story says that he was Turkish, you know. Anyway, the thing that all children, we were waiting for the presents, you know, the Christmas Eve, I mean. It's a beautiful tradition in Spain. It's related about religion, of course, also. And we have traditions that we keep, I mean, for ages.
And so the family gets together, goes to church?
Well, yeah.
Would it be Christmas Eve midnight or the next morning or what?
The next morning. The next morning,
okay.
You see. But nowadays, Christmas is just a family celebration. I can tell you honestly that nowadays in Spain, we are supposed to be quite Catholic, but I don't see the churches, plenty of people, honestly. But still, we keep the traditions of a family festival. We really enjoy that. It's actually, nowadays I'm 36 and I still, every Christmas time, I join my family, my big family, aunts, cousins, grandfathers, grandmothers, and we are 20-something and we are together. Actually, we are together Christmas Eve for dinner, Christmas Day for lunch, New Year's Eve for dinner, and also New Year's Day for lunch.
Four days. Yeah. That's a lot of family.
A lot of family, yeah.
Extended family.
Extended family.
People you don't see very often?
In my case, I do, and I'm quite happy about that.
That's good. Mm-hmm. What is the typical big meal, the fanciest meal for Christmas? What would you eat?
It depends on the region of Spain where you are.
Castile, you're from Madrid, so in Castile, what would you eat?
In Castile, we really like to eat suckling pig.
Suckling pig, little and baby pig.
Yeah.
All it ever ate was mother's milk.
Yeah.
Tender.
Tender, exactly. And also roasted baby lamb also.
Suckling mm-hmm. baby lamb.
Yeah. And also fish, believe it or not, we have no sea in Madrid, but we don't really care about that. We eat fish, good fish. It became a tradition from the 1800s to eat fish in Madrid. And you know something, many restaurants nowadays, they put a slice of lemon on the fish, you know, just because in the 1800s, the fish took time to go from the coast to Madrid, and the lemon avoid smell.
Kept the smell down of the rotten fish.
Exactly.
Merry
you know?
Christmas.
And nowadays we eat fish with a little bit of lemon.
Do you decorate your house for Christmas
yes,
anyway?
We do.
How would that be?
We do. Nowadays, I think that there is a kind of globalization in many ways, even if we talk about the decoration of Christmas, you know. And it is quite similar. In many Mediterranean countries, we do basically the same thing. We put the nativity scene mm-hmm. and also the tree and all the flowers and the beautiful things. That's what we basically do in every house in Spain for Christmas, especially when you have children.
Does mistletoe work in Spain?
Who?
Mistletoe. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's a little green branch with berries on it, and if it's over your head, you can kiss somebody.
Yeah, no.
You don't know mistletoe in Spain?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. What's unique in Spain, would you say, about the Christmas celebration? Is there anything different?
Anything different? Well,
it sounds like you've just imported the best of the other countries.
Yeah. Something specific about Spain, something about specific about Christmas. Not really. Not
okay, family
really.
Time. Would there be more gifts on Epiphany, January 5th?
People are more traditional about that, just because the Epiphany...
The three wise men brought the gifts to baby Jesus,
exactly.
And the children get the gifts too.
And you know, this works a lot in many Mediterranean and Latin American countries. We have the feeling, maybe we are wrong, but we have the feeling that it's a much more Latin tradition.
Well, I think it is, because where I grew up in Northern Europe, I don't think Epiphany is that big a deal.
Uh-huh.
But January 6th, that marks the end of the holiday season in Spain, like most of the Mediterranean world.
Exactly.
I hope you have a beautiful Christmas time with
Thank
your family.
You.
Federico
Thank you very much.
Garcia Barroso. Thank you. And how do you say Merry Christmas in Spanish?
Feliz Navidad.
I think everybody knows that one. Feliz Navidad. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're getting all excited about Christmas, and let's pretend we're in Budapest in Hungary. I've got with me Etelka and Levante, two guides from Budapest. And what's going on in Hungary now? If you're a five-year-old kid and you just had a great Christmas evening, you're going to bed, and what's going to happen? What happened today? What happens tonight? And what happens in the morning?
Oh, very exciting. I'm sure that I'm waiting for the little Jesus. Because in Hungary, not the Santa Claus is bringing the Christmas tree. It is the little Jesus task. And it is actually in the afternoon, and my parents are decorating the Christmas tree. And at about 5 or 6 o'clock, when I wake up, if I am a little kid, I go into the living room and I see the decorated Christmas tree. Presents are wrapped beautifully under the Christmas tree. And of course, we open it. And we have a wonderful, big, traditional Hungarian dinner on Christmas Eve. It's important on the 24th of December. After the dinner, we go to the church for the midnight service.
So that's all on the 24th?
That's all on the 24th, yes.
And the tree is decorated secretly from you, and then the children are brought in to see the tree?
Yeah.
Wow. And then it's the baby Jesus or a little boy Jesus, or who brings the gift?
We say that little Jesus brings the gifts and the Christmas tree, because we have got Santa Claus, but the Santa Claus is coming on the 6th of December.
On St. Nicholas Day.
On St. Nicholas Day, yes. So, you know, Hungarian people love the parties, and there's always a reason to celebrate something. So we celebrate on a separate day the Santa Claus.
Levante, is that your experience?
Yes, it is. I was just giggling. I thought it brings back wonderful memories of me and my brother having to take walks in the afternoon so we won't see the Christmas tree being decorated, because the angels or Jesus will bring the tree decorated as is.
Wow.
So you don't see the tree. The tree is somehow, no matter how small your apartment, is hidden somewhere. And then your parents decorate it while you're either taking a nap or walk or whatever. And then when you get back, you have just missed Jesus, unfortunately, or the angel, and the tree is decorated and the gifts are all there. Yeah.
After a few years, a child will see a pattern and you'll enjoy taking that walk, I would
Correct.
Imagine. Sure, I'll get out of the house.
Absolutely.
I'll be back in a little while. Make it good.
Absolutely.
And then you have a big family dinner.
Yes, a really big family dinner.
On Christmas Eve, and what would traditionally that be? What would you be eating?
Definitely in my family and in most of the families, fish soup. Then
fish soup,
yes. Stuffed cabbage, for example, different kinds of meats. Turkey is becoming popular.
Traditionally, freshwater fish soup.
Carp.
Yeah. And I know you do not like the carp, but
it's
we
a
love
different
the
kind of carp.
You got a good carp in Hungary. Yes. And then what else would and the sweets and the drinks?
Sweets, it's very special and always homemade poppy seed or walnut roll should be on the table.
What I'd like to add, too, is Christmas in Hungary is much like Thanksgiving in the U.S., meaning everything shuts down. It's really a very quiet time. All businesses are closed for 2-3 days. It really is just focusing on family. And if you're a religious family, then also, you know,
going to
of
church
Jesus.
And so on. Mm-hmm. And yes. the rituals and the festivities are on the 24th. And then the 25th would be just a day for family to be together.
Yes, correct. Or visiting very close relatives.
And children playing with the little toys that Jesus brought them.
Yes.
25th and 26th family days. And in our family, on the 25th or on the 26th, when everybody is together, definitely we play games. Board games is a must-do event at Christmas.
Now that sounds like what we'd call a Norman Rockwell sort of image.
Yes, it is a Norman Rockwell image, yes.
But is it eroding today in this fast-paced modern world, or is there a movement in Hungary to keep the magic of Christmas this way?
To keep the magic.
I think everybody wants to keep it for their kids' sake, grandkids' sake.
And you kids get two great gift days, the 6th and the 24th.
That's right.
And one more thing about the 6th. Every kids, even today, polish their shoes on the 6th and put either into the window or in front of the door, because Santa Claus will put the present into the clean shoes.
You have to clean your shoes.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Not stockings. You actually put shoes out.
Yes, shoes.
That's right.
And what a wonderful boy who has big feet.
He gets a lot of presents.
All right. Hey, is there any children's songs that are classic Christmas songs that the kids would sing around Christmas time?
There is.
What would that be?
Kis karácsony, nagy karácsony.
Okay, for example, kis karácsony, nagy karácsony. Can we sing?
Sure.
Kis karácsony, nagy karácsony, kisült-e már a kalácsom? Ha kisült, már ide véle, hadd egyem meg melegében. Jaj, de szép a karácsonyfa, ragyog rajta a sok gyertya. Itt egy lámpa, ott egy alma, jaj, de szép a karácsonyfa.
Wow. Now, I won't ask you to translate that literally, but what's going on? What is the lyrics?
It's about little Christmas, the great Christmas, basically how lovely everything is, and look at all the gifts and toys.
The family's here, the tree is decorated, everybody's together.
Picture.
Isn't it great to be alive?
And is the poppy seed roll done or not?
Are the poppy seeds done, and are my shoes polished enough to get the good gifts? Merry Christmas. Thank you for sharing a little
Merry
bit
Christmas
of Hungarian Christmas.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you.
Boldog karácsonyt. Merry Christmas.
Our fun-loving Sicilian friends Tommaso and Alfio join us in a little bit to tell us about the holidays in Sicily, where Mama works very hard to maintain the family traditions. We'll also check in with friends from Amsterdam, Paris, Scotland, and Australia as we celebrate an international Christmas. It's all just ahead on Travel with Rick Steves. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by American Airlines. Their Advantage program can help you earn miles toward your next vacation. Details are at AA.com. American Airlines knows why you fly. When Santa Claus travels, it's often with an alias. He's Père Noël, Babbo Natale, Sinterklaas, even Sammy Klaus. it's fun to see how others celebrate the holidays, whether it's sacred traditions or just good children's fun. Thanks for joining us as we explore Christmas around the world today on Travel with Rick Steves. Christmas is almost here, and we're exploring different cultures' ways of celebrating the holidays. And I have with me Elizabeth van Hest from the Netherlands.
Thank you. They said I should go on radio.
Yeah, I think so. I'd love to hear what Christmas is like in your memory. Let's pretend you're a five-year-old girl in a small town in the Netherlands, and it's Christmas Eve. What did you just do? What's happening tonight, and what happens tomorrow?
Oh, well, you see, for us, Christmas was really a family feast. Because probably, you know, in the Netherlands originally, we never had gifts at Christmas. It was the real religious holiday and a family holiday. And, well, in my case, I remember my mother started to prepare the house to decorate it. And she had little planks and we put moss on it with a wire. And then we put all kind of green leaves like holly and other little objects to decorate the house. And we fixed it on the wall and we put it on the table. And then, of course, we made the wreath for the front door. And then you were hoping it would be snowing on the right day. Because I remember the conifer, the big tree in our garden, when there was snow on it and my father would put lights. That was magic. And then just before Christmas, my mother came up with the real Christmas tree. And you know, when I was really very young, we had real candles with the clippings. Real candles.
Real candles under the tree inside the house.
Yes. And there was a white sheet on the floor to protect the floor. And then there was a basket with water in case the tree would be set on fire. So it was only allowed to light the candles when Daddy and Mummy were there. And we hardly moved, of course, because there could be a fire. But it was magic to see all these flames burning. And then we got a beautiful dog and it was too dangerous. So we had to put electric lights, but it was still very nice. Now, you see, I was living in a small village very close to Keukenhof. I think everybody knows that because that's the flower garden. My mother was a singer. And so at Christmas Eve, there was mass in church. Well, we don't call it mass because we were Protestants, of course. And that was exciting because my mother, she sang on the top in the church next to the organ. Once I was allowed to join her, I was sitting on the top in the church, looking underneath the curtain, and I saw the community in the church. And then I got so anxious because I was afraid my mother would make a mistake singing the wrong song or the wrong text. And then after the service, he went home and there was nothing, just a little thing, nice thing to eat. And he went to bed. And the next day we would have relatives coming for a nice meal. And as far as I remember, the real dish was turkey. Unlike you, on Thanksgiving Day, we say Christmas turkey. And I remember my mother was very happy because she succeeded her turkey with the chestnut inside. And then I also remember that at the end of the meal, we had nice crystal plates we never used. But on Christmas, it was put on the table and my father went to a very good shop to buy very special chocolates in the shape of mushrooms and the Smarties, you know. Because it was quite a long time ago, we didn't eat Smarties as children. That is now very common, but it was very exciting. Well, that was all for Christmas. In the Netherlands, you have 2 days, the 25th and the 26th of December. So you have 2 days off, and that is really for Christmas.
So the church service for Christmas was on the 24th in the evening?
As far as I remember, yes, because I remember I went at night.
Yeah.
I even remember that once we had Uncle Bernard and Auntie Lillian from Eastbourne having a Christmas with us because my parents traveled a lot and met a lot of people and invited them.
Now, for a little child, is there a Santa Claus figure that brings the gifts?
Well, that's it, because Christmas is without presents because our Santa Claus is called Sinterklaas. And he has his birthday on the 6th of December. So that is the real exciting feast for the gifts.
Ah.
And I really, I would be willing to set up an association to save that celebration because I think it's the most beautiful feast in the world.
Why?
Well, first of all, as a child, you believe in Sinterklaas. He is bishop coming from Spain on a big ship with his assistants who are Black Peters. They are funnily dressed and they are doing funny things, acrobats. They are a little bit naughty and you're scared of him because he is the one who could eventually put you in the sack if you hadn't been a nice child that year.
Wow.
Because Sinterklaas is keeping a book and he's writing in the book if you were good or bad. So it is very well organized in the Netherlands because about 3 weeks before the 6th of December, which is his birthday, he officially arrived on the big ship in Amsterdam. And this is transmitted on television. So you are looking at it because you know once he's in the country, your parents will allow you to put your little shoe at the chimney. Of course, many people had central heating, a little problem, but you find a solution. You put your shoe in front of the door or whatever. Anyway, some problems for a child to believe in St. Nicholas because 1 hour later, after you have seen him arriving on television in Amsterdam, he's arriving in your village as well. And so you say to your mother, how is that possible? So then she usually explains to you, well, there is the real one and he has assistance because, you know, there are so many children like you. The real one cannot cope with all that.
So to review, in the Netherlands, Christmas Eve, 24th, 25th, 26th, that's the family time and the religious time.
Yes.
And St. Nicholas Day, December 6th, is
yes.
the big gift-giving
yes.
festival that the children are very excited about. And the Dutch St. Nicholas is Sinterklaas.
Yeah, we call him Sinterklaas.
Sinterklaas.
And that comes from St. Nicholas.
Oh, and he sails on a boat from Spain with his
yes.
Acrobatic, colorful Black Peter
yes.
partners.
Yes,
and it's a naughty or nice thing.
Yes.
So if the kids are naughty, what happens?
Oh, they put you in the sack and they bring you to Spain.
They put you in a sack and take you to Spain.
And you're so scared. So even if you know that you weren't too bad, when your mother or your father brings you to St. Nicholas, because of course, like Santa Claus, you find them in big department stores
right.
and you can make an appointment. And I remember, because I have still a picture of myself and my brother, I was so brave that I dared to sit on St. Nicholas' knees.
Mm.
But most of the children start to cry. They get very upset. But you see this magic souvenir of something you believe in. It's so beautiful.
Souvenir in the sense of a good memory.
Yes.
A warm memory.
Yes.
I'm talking with Elizabeth van Helst from the Netherlands. And Elizabeth, is there a song that the children sing most happily for this, either Sinterklaas?
Yes.
Or what's the happiest children's song that you remember?
There are a few very long ones, very beautiful ones.
Sing
but
me just
see,
a quick verse of
a
one.
A quick one is Sinterklaas kapoentje, gooi wat in mijn schoentje, gooi wat in mijn laarsje, dank u Sinterklaasje. And you sing that in the evening when your parents allow you to put your shoe.
And what
for
did
just
that mean?
A little
what,
present.
What does translation?
Sinterklaas kapoentje, gooi wat in mijn schoentje, please Sinterklaas, draw something in my shoe. Sinterklaas kapoentje, gooi wat in mijn schoentje, gooi wat in mijn laarsje, dank u Sinterklaasje. Please throw something in my little boot. Thank you, Sint Nicholas.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth, for taking us to the Netherlands in this holiday season. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much, Merry Christmas.
In Dutch, how do you say Merry Christmas?
Vrolijk kerstfeest en een gelukkig nieuwjaar.
Dank u wel.
Alsjeblieft.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves, and we're exploring the holidays in different cultures. I'm joined now by Tommaso Ponte and Alfio Di Mauro from Sicily. Thanks for joining me, Tommaso and Alfio.
Thank you, Rick.
Now, it's Christmas time, and all of America is excited about the holidays, and every country celebrates the holidays differently. How is Sicily distinctive in its celebration of the holidays?
You know, we really enjoy Christmas time in Sicily because we have this big never-ending lunches and dinners. Of course, the dinner from Christmas night is very important. But I must say also that Christmas is a little bit different in Sicily than the rest of Italy. Right now, of course, it is changing, but I remember when I was a kid, the big day for a kid, it wasn't Christmas at all. You didn't get almost any kind of gift for Christmas, and neither for the Epiphany, which was a big deal until a few years ago in the rest of Italy. We were getting our gift during the nights of All Saints' Day.
All Saints' Day, that's November 1st, right?
Yes, exactly. So on that night, between November the 1st and November the 2nd, according to tradition, all of the dead relatives in your family were coming to the house and leaving a lot, dozen of gifts. Small gifts, but, you know, very interesting gifts.
All the dead relatives coming back and giving gifts?
Yes, and they were
hiding. If you were good.
If you were good.
If you were good.
And they were hiding them all over the house. When I was a kid, I was waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning, at 4 o'clock in the morning, on November the 2nd, just to start this crazy search of the gift.
Well, and tell me about that. You're 5 years old. It's 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, and you can wait. So you try, but of course, there's your mom on the other room that is going to hear you, or sometimes most of the gift were hidden in your parents' bedroom, so you couldn't just go there without doing any noise. And it was so interesting. And there was always something left to find in a closet, in another room.
Now, this
downstairs.
Is different from Italy. I don't remember this in Italy.
Yes, this is completely different.
This is completely different because, they left, they left, toys, but in the same time they left, little cookies that we call scardellini or ossa di morte.
In some towns close to Palermo, they call moscardine.
Moscardine, also. It's a kind of cookies, which is very hard.
What was the other one you said?
Ossa di morto means literally bones of the dead.
Bones of the dead. You get little sweets called the bones of the dead.
So you eat the bones of the dead in your family because it should
be. You're eating the bones of your dead relatives?
Yes, this was the meaning. No, of course.
It should be a kind of good luck.
Yes.
Good luck, sorry.
So Sicilian cannibalism for the holidays.
Absolutely.
No, of course, they are cookies.
Cookies and marzipan.
Marzipan, of course.
Yeah. Little fruit of marzipan.
Okay, so that's the big festival for the children, is having all of these gifts and candies on All Saints' Day.
Also, and the Epiphany, the 6th.
Okay, so let's get the calendar straight. You got November 1st and 2nd. You got St. Nicholas Day is December 6th, I think, St. Nicholas Day. And then you've got Christmas, the 24th and the 25th. And then Epiphany, the day the wise men brought the gifts to the baby
gift.
Jesus. Yes. I think that's the last of the 12 days of Christmas. And in Italy is really into Epiphany,
yes.
La Befana.
And we say, La Befana, tutte le feste porta via. Epifania, tutte le feste porta via. That means Epiphany is the last holiday of
the end of
holiday
the vacation.
Festivities season. And
you've had a big holiday
takes
season.
Takes away all of the festivities.
So it's a grand finale.
Yes,
exactly.
Is it a grand finale?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is what it is.
The grand finale, exactly.
And according to tradition, you should, because, we do the Christmas tree and the nativity, should wrap everything up after the Epiphany.
January 7th.
January 7th,
everything's gone.
All of the Christmas decorations are gone.
Yeah. Yes, so we begin with the Christmas decoration the 8th of December, the day of the Immaculate, which is very important for us, okay? And we finish the 6th.
The
so
day
we
of the Immaculate?
Yeah,
Immaculate
the Virgin Mary.
Immaculate Conception.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So that's a couple of days after St. Nicholas's Day, December 8th. So that's really when Christmas kicks into gear.
Yes.
Tell me about Christmas itself. It's Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. How in Sicily, traditionally, when you were a child, would you have celebrated that?
You always have all the family members and relatives together in one house just to have this never-ending Christmas dinner. And I remember in my family, we were always rotating the house. For example, if my parents did the Christmas dinner in my house, on the next year, another relative of the family would host all of the.
So you remember and you rotate.
Yes, we rotate. For example, if we are in one house in Christmas, if for the New Year's Eve, we will be in the other house.
Okay.
This is a sort of rotation. Huge meals, of course, especially fish. We eat lots of fish for Christmas, even from New Year's Eve. Well, in the area where I live, for example, codfish. This is the most important kind of food that we have for Christmas Eve. So important, smoked salmon, shrimps.
How big a family gathering would this be? be? The immediate family, the extended family?
Extended family. Always we have a party of 20 to 25 people. Yeah. This is, you know, the number.
We're talking about 20, 30.
Yes, people. This is. So we have a huge table. We gather all together. We wait until midnight, and then we go to the church about 11:30, and we wait for the birth of the bambinello, you know, the little child.
Bambinello. And that would be at midnight. Would be
at midnight, we go to the church, and we celebrate this. So this is Christmas. New Year's Eve is a little bit different because we wait until 11 o'clock, so, and then we go to the discos, the young generation, of course. Yeah. Of course.
But sticking with Christmas, even though in the United States, you know, Christmas Eve is when the most people go to church.
Yes.
So even people who don't go to church normally, most people will go to church at midnight on Christmas Eve.
Yes, and if you're a kid, you don't have choice. You have to go. Yes. Otherwise, you upset mama.
Yes.
You don't want to upset
not
mama.
At all.
Yeah, no, we don't want. Don't forget that we are mama boys, so we must please our mama sometimes.
What's the Italian word for mama's boy?
Mammoni.
Mammoni, what does that mean?
Mammoni, mama boys. I mean that we are the preferred of our mamas. So our mamas, you know, prepare our food. She makes our laundry. It's a great way of living.
So is this,
I swear.
Because this is famous in Italy also, but I mean in Sicily there's still
in Sicily is much more, you
even
know.
In extreme, you have a strong umbilicone.
Umbilicone.
That is fun. Oh, I think
the
you're right.
Umbilical cord. I know one Italian
right.
word.
Yes.
So it's hard to cut that umbilicone.
Well, you know, our mamas, I think they love us so much, probably too much, that they don't want that we leave the house.
Absolutely
So
not.
That means that you're going to have a kind of a close relationship with your mama because she is going to take care of you or what you eat or what you're going to dress or the laundry and things like that. And I must say that sometimes, you know, Sicilians, they really enjoy
when you
that.
Get married, there is a big competition between the mama and the wife. Don't Ooh. Forget that. That's why the mom and the wife, you know, the wife should stay very, very far from each other. Otherwise, we have always, you know, fight.
So because can you imagine this poor Sicilian man struggling between these two women?
Yes, it's
oh,
a big
life
problem.
Is tough. Life is so tough.
Yes,
wow. You can tell.
Okay, so it's Christmas time, and how do you say Merry Christmas in Sicily?
Buon Natale.
Buon Natale. Mille grazie and Buon Natale.
Buon
Thank
Natale.
Thank you very much.
In Australia, Christmas kicks off the summer. Coming up, we'll hear how Tony Wheeler from Lonely Planet observes the holiday from his home in Melbourne. And one of our listeners in Alabama wants some help planning a family Christmas in Paris. So my French friend Patrick Vidal will join us in a bit to help plan a holiday vacation in the City of Lights. Up next, we'll find out how the Christmas traditions are kept in Scotland, thanks to Highlander Ken Hanley and Anne Doig from Edinburgh. Glad you could come along as we celebrate an international Christmas on Travel with Rick Steves. Today on Travel with Rick Steves, it's an international celebration of Christmas and a few other related holidays as well. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rick Steves. We're getting all excited about Christmas, and we're going to go to Scotland just for a moment here. I have two Scottish guides with me, Anne Doig and Ken Hanley. And Ken and Anne, Christmas is approaching. How is Christmas special in Scotland?
Well, in Edinburgh, it's very special because we have a Christmas festival, and in the gardens beneath the historic castle, there's an ice rink, there are big fairs, Christmas markets, all the trees have lights on them, the whole town is lit up, and it's a very special time. It didn't used to be in Scotland, but now it really is. It's a big festival in Edinburgh.
Okay, now let's just talk not as tourists, but as five-year-old children. You're ready to go to bed on Christmas Eve. What happened this evening, and what's going to happen tonight and tomorrow morning?
Oh, well, in Scotland, you hang up your tartan sock and you leave something for Santa Claus, some shortbread or some warm milk. You try and go to bed early if you're not too excited. And the next day when you're waking up, hopefully your stocking will be full of lots of presents. And we tear into them right away. Unlike other countries, they have opened up their presents on Christmas Eve, but we open them up on Christmas Day. And then we have the big lunch. Presents are opened right away. And there's always a big mess and a big fuss, but it's a lovely time.
So the children wake up and they go and
they
see what...
They go straight through.
And who comes in the middle of the night? What's his
Santa
name?
Santa Claus.
It's not,
yes,
Father Christmas or anything.
No.
It's Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
And Ken Hanley, how was your relationship with Santa Claus when you were a small child?
I think it was absolutely excellent and still is, to be honest, Rick. My memories go back to times when, like most children, you can't get to sleep because Santa's coming and you've put the milk out for the reindeers. And I was brought up always to leave a wee dram for Santa as well, because he needed a wee whiskey to get him over the North Pole.
And did he appreciate that?
I think he did, because the glass was aye empty.
And the shortbread?
Absolutely.
Go on.
And of course, in the morning we got down, and I'm talking in my youth, the big thing was that you had your big tartan sock and you had fruit, an orange and things like that, you know. And as Anne says, you got tore into it right away. No messing in Scotland.
And
Santa Claus has been, he's delivered his sack, he's got his presents, and it's get into them.
Well, rip through your long tartan sock with me right now. It's a long time ago. You're 5 years old. It's a great morning. What's in there? Pull it out one by one.
You're getting oranges that, you know, that you might sound strange, but for us, oranges was a great thing. It was a great treat. An apple, a banana, nuts, special kind of nuts in that. You know, nowadays you go nuts about computers and things like that, but we went nuts about fruit and all the simplistic things.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it was a tartan sock.
Yes. Always had to be, in our house, it always had to be a tartan sock.
Your family tartan?
Yeah, or a national tartan, but at that time, usually a family tartan.
Now, of course, Santa across cultures is a sort of a tool that parents use to keep their children nice, not naughty. I know you were always nice, but did you have some naughty friends, and what would they find in their stocking?
Santa Claus sometimes came, and there might have been a big hole in the sock, and that was the excuse.
Oh, is that right?
But I think, you know, I think children are the same the world over, and I think Scots are no any different. The expectation is high. And I think, you know, for that night, everybody behaves for Santa coming, and everybody expects that there's something nice in the tree or around the tree or in the tartan sock.
Now, Anne, you said you got to get together with a big Christmas midday feast. Is that right?
Yes,
on Christmas
right.
Day, the 25th.
Yes, that's right.
Traditionally, what would that include in Scotland?
Well, it's the turkey and all the trimmings, Brussels sprouts, roast potatoes, mashed potatoes, roast parsnips, stuffing, chestnut stuffing. You'd have a starter, perhaps soup, or used to be prawn cocktail in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. And then is there any traditional sweet or dessert?
Yes, we have the Christmas pudding with brandy sauce. And you light the Christmas pudding. In the old days, when my mother used to make her Christmas pudding, she would wrap up threepenny pieces, which are worth about 4 cents now. But that was a big excitement if you got...
Well, threepence pieces?
Yes.
Oh, you had threepence coins. Put
silver,
them in.
A silver threepenny.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And that was very lucky, wrapped up in greaseproof paper. You wouldn't be allowed
inside
to do that.
Your little,
inside
your little pudding
the Christmas
or something.
Pudding, yes.
Now, that sounds pretty English also. Are there differences in the actual meal from England to Scotland traditionally?
Not really, no.
I think you would get more threepennies in the Scottish cake than the English.
And what about the holiday drink? What would the adults look forward to at holiday time?
I think
time?
It has
whiskey.
To be the ishkaba. Yeah, the whiskey.
Ushkaba.
Ushkaba.
What's that? What's ishkaba?
Means water of life.
Whiskey.
Ah, whiskey.
Yeah.
And as a child, what's the happiest Christmas song? What's a happy song? Is there like Up on the Housetop, Frosty the Snowman? What would be a children's song in Scotland?
Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells was a big one.
A big one for us in Scotland. And just on that, Rick, you know, I think the perception is that we don't or didn't have Christmas as a big thing in Scotland, but it's not the case. I don't know where that came from, but we do celebrate Christmas in Scotland just like anybody else, but somehow people seem to think that we go for New Year more.
Mm.
But with the typical canny Scots, we get two bites at the cherry. We have a wonderful Christmas and a fantastic New Year as well.
It sounds great. And different cultures have different days that are big for Christmas, but in Scotland, what are the big days? Is it actually Christmas Eve and Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you decorate the yards house. And the houses at the holiday season?
Yeah.
How do you decorate them?
With lights and baubles on the fresh Christmas trees and all the Christmas cards and dried fruits. And
we tended to, I think, and be more... We didn't put things outside as much as they do today. I think that's very much an Americanism, if I can say that.
So you drive down a street today in Edinburgh, you don't see a lot of decorations in the houses, but you step inside and you find a tree that's really decked out.
Yeah.
Yes.
We do have them now outside, but in general, I think if we're generalising and going back a little, it was always in the house. You know, they had the tree and then your decorations in the house, as opposed to the show of the house outside.
And does the mistletoe have any special power in Scotland?
Oh, yes.
Tell me.
Oh, you want to get a piece of mistletoe and carry it around with you because you have to kiss the person that's under the mistletoe. That's
you have
it,
to?
Yes.
And it's legal to carry it around with you?
Absolutely. It's a must have.
Ken, give me your best Merry Christmas in a Scottish brogue.
Well, have a happy Christmas from Scotland, or a merry Crimble, or anything like that, but in a Scottish accent, in Glaswegian. Oh, goody, have a good Christmas, big man. See you. Aye, and the bairns and all. Tell all the weans to have a happy Christmas.
Translate that for me. What did you say?
They were saying, good evening, Rick, and I'm wishing you a terribly merry Christmas, and you could tell the same to the children.
Say that again in Glaswegian.
What a best, big man, for Glasgow. Have a happy Christmas. You know, we're lucky in Scotland because we have these variants of the, you know, in Aberdeen they have this wonderful Dorky thing, you know. Well, you'll be having a happy Christmas up there, aye. Santa might come if you're good. And a tiny wee bit more refined in Edinburgh, I think, and you'd be better than that at me. Happy Christmas for Edinburgh, you know.
Yeah.
So you got the Edinburgh, you got the Glasgow, you got the Aberdeen,
and
all of Scotland. Well, thanks for joining us, and happy Christmas to you too also.
Happy Christmas to you.
Same to you, Rick, and your family.
And who's the fat old jolly bloke with the long white beard and the bright red cloak? Will do his best to send us broke, it's Santa Bloody Claus. Who's going to make us destitute? Santa, Santa. Who's the man that parents loathe? Santa, Santa. Cause his credit cards to overload. Santa Bloody Claus.
Well, we're thinking about Christmas and we've invited Tony Wheeler to join us. Tony is the founder of Lonely Planet Publications. Tony's published guidebooks for literally every corner of this planet, 400 different guidebooks, and Tony has spent a lot of Christmases overseas. Tony, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Think back on some Christmases you've had overseas. What sort of cultural highlights and surprises have you enjoyed?
Funnily enough, I keep thinking of seafood when I think of Christmas. You know, certainly in England, turkey, which I was born in England, turkey is the Christmas meal, much like it's turkey for Thanksgiving in the States. But in Australia, we for many years, we've had a seafood barbecue in the back garden and had a lot of friends around. And it's outside on the Christmas Eve and we're eating...
Oh, it's the shrimps on the Barbie thing.
Shrimps on the Barbie and lobster and oysters and...
But Christmas is hot in Australia, right?
It's hot, so you're outside.
Elementary, you know,
so,
there you go.
Yeah.
So Santa Claus has short pants.
Sure, Santa Claus certainly does have short pants. And late night on Christmas Eve is what I really think of being the... And my kids would as well. That's what they'd really associate Christmas with. They'd associate with Christmas Eve outside and seafood. But also one of the best Christmases I ever had traveling was in Burma. This was a long time ago when there were very few tourists in Burma. And the Raffles Hotel, which is the big fancy hotel, but very, very run down in those days. And we went to have dinner there the Christmas Day. And we thought, how can we sort of try and do a Christmas dinner? And the only thing we could think of was lobster. It was sort of the nearest thing you could think of to a fancy Christmas meal. It was fun.
Let's talk a practical travel tip here. You've got guidebooks that are covering the entire world. People often ask me, what should I do at Christmas? You know, I'm in this or that place. And I usually don't know because I've never been there on Christmas. Just in general, if somebody's exploring the world, what's a good practical tip to enjoy Christmas away from home?
I guess, you know, if you want to make something of it, this should be the day of the week that you have a fancy meal, that you do something that feels a little bit out of the way, a little bit Christmas-like. But it's remarkable how you can find little reminders of Christmas in the strangest places. I remember once I was in Kathmandu at Christmas, and we went into a shop and we were looking around, and they had little figures of the various Hindu gods. You could have a Vishnu or a Shiva or a Ganesh or whatever. And we looked at them and we thought, they look like something you'd hang on a Christmas tree. And we sort of said this, and an assistant in the shop said, yes, you could hang them on a Christmas tree. So obviously somebody else had already suggested this, and this had become an idea. And for many years, our Christmas tree back at home did every year have a little figure of Ganesh and a little figure of Shiva and Vishnu hanging on the tree.
And when you bring that up, it reminds me, you know, Christendom is Christendom, and that's just a minority of the planet.
But Christmas is something different.
Christmas is different, yeah. You have Christmas celebrated in Japan, and it's more like a party.
It is, yeah. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
I mean, I think it's taking a different perspective.
It's a multicultural approach to Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
In Japan, it's the big party. I know New Year's is more of the religious time, and in Japan, everybody's got their Christmas cakes.
Yes,
and
indeed.
You're packed onto the subway
station. And then, you know, a month later in the Chinese part of the world, suddenly it's Chinese New Year is the celebration. I think we should, you know, enjoy every celebration we can take part in. They're all fun.
And when you travel in the developing world, or what we'd call the third world, a lot of times I think there is more festive kind of color. In Bali, don't they say there's a festival every day?
Just about, yeah. And the year is shorter. The year is only 210 days. So the annual celebrations come around more regularly.
So wherever you're traveling, you can be tuned in to the local festivities and embrace them with gusto.
Yeah, and, you know, it can be all sorts of local things. It can be the local sport. I think, you know, if you go to any country, find out what the local sport is and see if you can catch an archery contest in Bhutan, where archery is a national sport, or canoeing in Polynesia, where I've seen outrigger canoes go so fast you could water ski behind them.
That is a fundamental trick, is to get out of the museums and beyond the palaces and beyond the tour buses and actually become a temporary local person, whether it's going to a sporting event or getting into a home to celebrate a local holiday, if it happens to be Christmas or whatever, getting yourself intimate with the culture.
Yeah.
Tony Wheeler from Lonely Planet, thanks a lot. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
One of our listeners, Brett, in Birmingham, Alabama, is planning a special family Christmas treat. So he wrote us asking for some advice on spending the holidays in Paris. So I've invited our French tour guide friend, Patrick Vidal, to join us and tell us how the heart of France celebrates Christmas in the big, bright city of Paris. So it's a good time to imagine Christmas in Paris, and we have Brett on the line in Birmingham, Alabama. Brett, Merry Christmas.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you got a question about Christmas in Paris?
Yes, we were looking to spend some time in Paris around Christmas, and we've got about 2 weeks altogether. We'll probably be traveling by car, and not just Paris, but really looking around Europe in general. We'll have our children who will be, let's see, 7 and 10. Wanted to see what you guys would recommend for good activities in Paris and beyond for Christmas time.
Let's talk about that. It's Christmas in Paris, Patrick. What are your advice?
Christmas in Paris. I think the specificity of Paris at Christmas is the lights around there. I would give a big priority, and I'm not a shopper. I mean, it's a bit special to say that, but I would send people to go to the Grand Magasin, like the Galerie Lafayette,
the
big department store on the Haussmann Boulevard north of the Madeleine area there, where the lights are just amazing there.
They put a lot of energy into their window displays.
It's a big thing. The window displays are just great there. You just do window shopping, walk along the boulevard there, and it's just a visit on its own there. You don't need a guide there, and it works very well.
And it's even more than just the window displays, because all the Parisian people are out with their children. It's a multi-generational family event. They have little stools, little step stools for the children, the short children, to climb up so they can get a good view.
To be able
of the
to see it, yeah. It is a big, big thing, yeah.
You've got some special traditions in the bakeries?
It's not really the bakeries. I mean, you got cakes around Christmas and things like that. The specialty you want to eat in Paris and in France when you're around for Christmas is called boudin blanc.
What is
boudin
that?
Blanc is the what you call in English black pudding, but it's a white version of it there. And it's in France, you don't find it anything else than at Christmas there.
A white version of black pudding.
Yes. It's strange to say black pudding because
black
you call
pudding,
it white.
Is that blood pudding?
Yes, absolutely.
So in England they have the blood pudding.
Yes. And the
so
white
it's,
pudding...
It's a white-colored blood pudding.
No, it's not. This one is not made with blood.
Oh, that's good.
It's a sausage type, very simple sausage type there. But it looks like black pudding, the same consistence. They use the same name, but they call it the white version there. The white.
Now, Brett's got a couple of weeks to travel. Are there other special days around Christmas that are festive for the French?
In France, the festive day is the eve, the Christmas Eve.
Okay.
That's where people are going out. It's a family event. You will find markets and the Christmas markets and things like that there.
But that's more Germany, isn't it?
That's more Germany. That's more Eastern. It's coming in France. It's coming more and more, but it's not the tradition.
But there's a big meal, a big traditional meal.
It's a big meal.
There's even a name for this meal.
It's the Réveillon.
Le réveillon.
Le réveillon. Yes.
What does that mean?
Réveillon, réveillon is the it means the eve. Réveillon, eve, the eve, the, okay, the night before the
so
event.
So the evening feast before Jesus was born.
Yes, it is there.
And what is this meal? It's a big family occasion.
It's a big family occasion. There is not too much of a tradition of what you should eat around it there. There used to be the turkey a little bit like in England there.
But now people are breaking out of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's not really, really written in stone what you should eat around that there. But it's a big thing there. Everybody's around. The family's around there. It lasted for quite a long time in the evening there. If the people are religious enough, they will go to what is called the Messe de Minuit, the midnight mass there, which is fading apart as well. I mean, it's not a big thing anymore as much as it was there. Put the kids to bed there, and in the morning they'll wake up to their Christmas presents around the
tree. So Santa Claus comes in the middle of the night, even in France?
Even in France, yeah.
And the kids get their stocking or whatever in the morning?
No stockings. That's not the we don't do the stocking thing.
So
there.
Where do they put the goodies?
They put the goodies at the feet of the tree. Yeah.
Does Santa Claus come down the chimney?
He comes down the chimney.
Even in France.
Even in France.
Does he eat milk and cookies?
No. We don't leave anything for him.
Little wine.
That would be a good idea.
All right, but Santa Claus
and a piece
comes
of bread.
If the kids are good, they get their special goodies. And in Paris, you've got some wonderful wintertime ambience. You've got skating in front of the city hall.
You've got skating there. You've got, I mean, when I was talking about the lights in front of the department store, you've got lights everywhere. I mean, the Rue Claire area that we really like to spend time on there is all lit up, and it's a very, very nice thing there. Walking down any street in Paris after 5 o'clock in the afternoon when the lights are up there is just a pleasure. It's
are people in a good mood in France at Christmas time?
I think, who's not in good mood around Christmas time?
It's a beautiful time to be out.
I mean, it's a good thing. For once, the Parisian can be in good mood. That's a good thing.
All right. Well, that's good. And in France, you say at Christmas?
Joyeux Noël.
Joyeux Noël.
Joyeux Noël.
Brett, I hope that gives you some ideas.
It gives me a lot of ideas. I was taking notes as quickly as I could.
Yeah, Joyeux Noël.
I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington. There's more to our show, including audio archives in the radio department at ricksteves.com. Today's program included seasonal music excerpts from Ikimi, the Seattle Men's Chorus, Ryuichi Sakamoto, David Raintree, Phonema, Le Violon de Roy, Salsa Celtica, Tingstad and Rumble, and Bing Crosby.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Oh, bring us some figgy pudding, oh, bring us some figgy pudding, oh, bring us some figgy pudding and bring it out here.
Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by American Airlines. New vacation options in Latin America, plus getaways in the U.S., Europe, and the Caribbean are at aavacations.com. American Airlines knows why you fly.